Chapter 17. Rec Number 2 Iscariot Jmanuel Sunanda. Friday, August 11, 1989, 9:45 a.m. Year 2, Day 360. Judah's present Dharma, that we might continue. Blessings upon these words that I can tell of the story in accuracy. So be it. 3 days later. On the evening of the third day following crucifixion of Jmanuel, the disciples were gathered in a room, in the city in which they had taken their last meal with Jmanuel. It was the time of the ancient holiday of Easter, and they had gathered to speak of the things which had been happening. Behold, the door opened and a stranger entered, someone they had never seen before. The person had a cloth across his face. They were immediately afraid it might be one of the Jews come to betray them. The stranger gently spoke and said, "Peace be with you." And he took the cloth from across his face, and they could see that it was Jmanuel. Doubting Thomas. He then showed them his hands and his loins and feet, and they could see his wounds. There was great confusion but great exuberance at his presence. However, there was also great doubt as to such a reality, and Thomas believed the form to be an apparition and said to Jmanuel, "If I could touch your wounds, then I would know that you are not an illusion." Jmanuel said to him, "Stretch forth your hand unto me and put it on my wounds, so that you of little faith can believe." Thomas did as told and touched the wounds upon Jmanuel's body and in shocked quiet said, "Verily it is you." Jmanuel then turned from his disciples and as he departed he told them, "Keep this a secret, my return, so that it will not become known that I am alive." But behold, the next day the disciples set out to go to Galilee and to spread the happy news among the followers of Jmanuel. 2 more appearances. As the disciples went along their way, a transient stranger joined them and walked along with them for a portion of the journey. They were sad and talked among each other about how Jmanuel had been forced to die on the cross and all about the things which had come about in the prior days. The stranger asked them, "Why are you mourning?" And they chattered to him about all the things which grieved them. The stranger said, "You have such little faith. Jmanuel had told you that he would rise from half-death after 3 days and nights, and just as he said, so it has happened." As he spoke, Jmanuel took the dust cloth from afront his face, and they recognized him. Jmanuel spoke not another word. He turned and went away and was not seen again for a long period of time. Then it happened one day that some of the disciples were fishing in the Sea of Tiberia, long after Jmanuel had disappeared, and they caught nothing the entire night. They were most angry and weary as dawn broke in the new day. When they came to the shore, there stood a stranger with his face covered, who spoke, saying, "Do you not have something to eat? For I am hungry." They answered and said, "No, for we have caught not even one fish in our nets." The stranger spoke, saying, "Throw the net out to the right side of the boat, and you will catch a great number." They were astonished because of his speech, but did decide to follow his request, and cast the net to the right side of the boat. And behold, they could not pull in the net because of the great multitude of fish therein. They then came ashore and prepared a meal, for they, too, were hungry. Behold, the stranger uncovered his face, and it was Jmanuel. While they were eating and sharing great joy, he said to them, "Go to Galilee to a certain mountain, there I will join you, for our time together has ended, and each one may go his own way." The disciples went to the mountain unto which Jmanuel had instructed them to go, and there they met him. The last lesson. When they had all gathered, he talked with them and said, "Behold, I shall talk to you this one last time. Then I will leave and never return to this place. My path leads me to India, where many of this human race live also, because they left this land in order to dwell there. My mission leads me unto them and to the human race which was born there. My path to that place will be long, for I must bring my new teachings yet unto many countries, likewise to the shores of the great black waters to the north of this place. Before I shall depart, however, I shall give you a last lesson. If man lives according to the laws of the creation, he lives rightly in truth, but this is the final goal. Everything human has to die in man, but everything creative has to rise and embrace the creation. Consider the universe as the place where the creation abides in the infinite. Everything that man owns has its origin in the creation, therefore it belongs to the creation. Man shall change his entire spiritual life and perfect it, so that it may become one with the creation. And if man does a thing, he must do it with the awareness of the presence of the creation. But man shall never force truth onto another, for it would be worthless. First man shall watch his own progress and spirit so that he creates in himself creative harmony. To use force is not of the creation. No greater darkness rules in man than does ignorance and lack of wisdom. The victory of man consists at its height in destroying and removing each power opposing the creative, in order that the creative might prevail. Man must develop in himself the power to judge over good and evil and the correct perception in all things, so that he may be wise, fair, and just while following the laws of the creation. Perception is necessary as to that which is real and that which is unreal, what is valuable and that which has no value, also, that which is of the creation and that which is not. Man must become a universal unit of oneness, so that he becomes one with the creation. However great the suffering of man, the power of the creation, in man, is immeasurably greater, to conquer all that is evil. If man lives only in his consciousness, as man, he will remain inaccessibly distant from his spirit and from the creation, and therefore, from the laws thereof. The greater man's dedication to the laws of the creation, the deeper will be the peace he harbors within himself. Man's happiness consists in that he seek and find truth, so that he may gather thereof knowledge and wisdom, and think and act in accord with the creation. Because only through the conditions of human life can man develop his creative powers and spirit, and utilize them. Man must try daily to unfold his powers and capabilities, for only thereby will he obtain experience in their usage. As long as man is not one with the creation, he will never have the ability to laugh about death of the physical body or of the transition which appears to be death. For fear of the unknown is in man, that which only perfection is able to perceive and that of which the spirit is all-knowing. Instead of being guided by instincts and impulses, man must live in total realization of wisdom and also according to the law. Man shall not lose his way in the forest of limitations, but shall expand his spirit and see, and find, knowledge and wisdom, so that he may come closer to his life's purpose and goal and recognize the creative principle in all things. 1,000 lights will help man on his path, if he but watches for them and follows them. Man can, and will, attain all knowledge and wisdom, if he seriously and persistently strives for perfection. The laws serve all those who are willing to see truth and wisdom in unlimited measure, inasmuch as they master themselves in all possible facets and develop their spiritual powers ever higher and higher, and perfect themselves thereby. Man should not consider his physical misery, but the reality of spirit and the being which is of the creation. There is steady unrest in man, because he has an inner knowledge that his fate and destination are to be one within creation. Man may be great, wise, and good, but that is not sufficient. He must become ever wiser, greater and better. There may not be any limits to love, peace and joy, for the present has to be unceasingly exceeded. Man's final goal. Verily I say to you, love that is unlimited, constant and infallible, is without conditions and pure, and in its fire all that is unclean and evil will burn. For such a love is the love of the creation and of its laws, also to which man has been predestined since the beginning of time. Since this is the final goal of man, he must take care that this must and shall be so, for this is his destiny. As yet man does not understand the wisdom of this teaching, because it is adulterated everywhere on earth. In his ignorance, man falsified it in all various arts and forms so that it becomes diffused and incomprehensible. However, in 2,000 years it will be brought forth and taught anew, unfalsified, when man has become reasonable and knowledgeable. A new age and generation will come forth which foretells great changes. In the stars can be read that the people of the new era will be great revolutionaries in truth, and from the stars shall come the truth thereof. Therefore, a few special people, chosen ones, will teach anew my unfalsified pronouncements. They shall have great courage, for they will be persecuted by those of the false doctrines claiming to pronounce my truth. They shall be denounced and accused falsely of all manner of crimes in order to stop the bringing forth of truth. You must go and prepare the way for my teachings and make all peoples its disciples. But beware of false teaching, which because of your own ignorance, you would allow to ascend. Some of you are most inclined to project my teachings in error. I sternly caution you, and warn you, to be careful in bearing forth only the truth. Teach unto the people everything which I commanded you, lest you falsify my teachings. To Syria in the thundering light. It happened that when he spoke to them in this manner, it thundered in the heavens and a great light came down from the sky. Not far from where they were seated, the light alighted on the ground. There was a most beautiful metallic glitter as it reflected in the light of the sun, for the sky was clear and no clouds were present save the one above the light. Jmanuel ceased his speaking, arose and went to the metallic light and stepped therein. It came about that around us rose a fog all about, and it thundered again as the singing began, and the light lifted into the sky once more, and the cloud of fog dissolved. The disciples quietly returned to Jerusalem, and described what had happened. Now it happened that Jmanuel was set forth on the land through the great light, in Syria, and he lived in Damascus for about 2 years. He was not recognized as to his identity, and was most often called by the name of Asu. After about 2 years, he sent forth a messenger into Galilee to locate his brother, Thomas, and his disciple, Thomas as well as myself, Judas Iscariot. In a little more than 2 months Judas and Thomas made their way to Jmanuel. They bore bad news. Thomas related, "Your disciples have falsified your teachings. They say you are the Son of God and call you the Anointed One and have pronounced that you are equal to the creation. The high priests and the elders persecute your followers and stone them whenever they can find and catch them. It is said of Thomas, your disciple, that he fled and left for the land of India with a caravan. Saul. A great enemy has ascended against you, a man named Saul. He is foaming with rage against you and utters great threats against you. He issues great threats against your disciples and those who believe in your teachings. He has letters written to the synagogues in all countries so that those who would follow your new teaching would be bound and taken under arrest, into Jerusalem. No difference is made as to whether it be man, woman or a child, for they shall all be put to death." Jmanuel spoke, "Do not be afraid, the time will soon come when Saul will be taught contrary to his evil thoughts. For he is already on his way here to Damascus. He is following the two of you so that he can arrest you and return you, in chains, to Jerusalem. But I shall step in front of him before he reaches Damascus, and since he believes me to be dead, he will assume my appearance to be that of a ghost." Jmanuel then set out to see a friend who helped him with mysterious things, such as powders, salves, liquids, and other secret items. When he had gathered all his supplies, he left the city along the road to Galilee from whence would come Saul. For 2 days Jmanuel waited at a place some days' journey from Damascus, in the cliffs. While he waited, he prepared a mixture of the various items he had brought along with him. During the night of the second day he saw a group approaching from the direction of Galilee. Among them was Saul, the persecutor of the disciples and Jmanuel's followers. When the group came close, Jmanuel stood forth on a large rock outcropping, struck a fire to the concocted mass, and cast it before the group approaching, directly in the path in front of Saul. At the same time Jmanuel shouted loudly, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute my disciples?" Saul, however, was terrified and fell to the ground and cried out, "Who are you who speaks to me in this manner?" Jmanuel answered and said, "I am Jmanuel whom you persecute in your hatred, as you do my disciples. Get up and go into the city and let ones teach you according to how you are supposed to live." Saul was very much afraid and said, "But you are he whom they crucified, so you are dead and speaking to me now as a ghost." Jmanuel did not respond, turned and returned to Damascus. The men who were Saul's companions stood frozen with fear, for they too thought that they had witnessed a ghost. But Saul got to his feet and opened his eyes. However, his eyes had no vision, for they were blinded by the light which Jmanuel had caused. His companions led him by the hand into Damascus. Saul did not have vision for 3 days and he did not eat or drink during that time. A disciple of Jmanuel came to Saul and taught him the new teaching, so that he slowly began to understand it. But Saul's spirit was confused, because of the happening near the rock, so he misunderstood much and talked in a most confused manner. In this same state of befuddlement he claimed reformation and set about preaching confused things unto the people. toward India? Jmanuel stayed about another month in Damascus, and then he spread the word that he would leave the country and would travel into the land of India. His mother, Mary, had herself come from Nazareth, and she, along with Jmanuel, Thomas, and Judas, journeyed the way to the land of India. Whenever they would come to a settlement, Jmanuel again preached and taught the people. The power within him was even greater and stronger than before. Let us take a respite, for I wish to next translate the teachings of the creation, and it would be suitable to have it as a separate unit.